Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, Aaron Rodgers. We got him. Going to jail.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
That's the tweet. That was what I was planning on tweeting when we've yet to post a video.
Aaron Rodgers has been caught and compromised to the fullest extent.
We got him. We flew to Green Bay, a covert operation, kept it under wraps. This was on Tuesday, and we got Aaron Rodgers. Great interview. Went into it being like, can't let him win me with kindness. I feel like I held my ground, but I guess we'll see. We are on Grit Week. We're in Colorado. We're dealing with the high altitude. It's awesome. It's going to be a great week because we have a lot of awesome stuff planned. We're going to do Who's Back. We're going to do Mount Rushmore of NFL coaches we want on our side in a fight in honor of Grit Week and Dan Campbell wearing his grit hat. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Okay, let's go.
Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take, presented by Coors Light, the greatest beer ever created. We are in Colorado. Coors Light, we love you. Today is Monday, August 8th, and welcome to Grit Week.
Hey, Big Cat, let's ride.
Let's ride. Broncos country.
Let's ride.
Let's ride.
Let's ride.
Let's Broncos country. Let's ride.
Let's ride.
There were some people who thought that today's interview was going to be Russ Wilson, and it was that people were very upset about that. But I'm saying let's ride.
Let's fucking ride today.
Yes.
We're hitting the South this great week.
Yes, we're in the southernmost state, according to Paul Bissonnette. Grit Week, seventh year, Grit Week 2022. We're very excited. We got some awesome stuff planned. We're going to make some trips all around the lovely state of Colorado, the Sunshine State.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's Florida.
Dumb and Dumber. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Good call.
Yeah. We're in the Rockies. How many times are we going to say that? Yeah.
Extra high. Somebody sent me something on Twitter earlier and said, hey, in case you guys are having an issue dealing with the altitude, apparently Viagra helps that.
Ooh.
So
shout out Buddha Ben.
Do you remember?
Shout out to Grit Week.
Yeah,
year one.
It reminded me of year one. We met Richie Incognito, and we decided to play a game called Viagra Falls.
Yes,
because we were up in Buffalo, where we just took like a bunch of pills that were like gas station supplements or like vitamins, but one of them was Viagra, and none of us knew who got the Viagra. We didn't get boners though.
Well, because Hank also threw up right after, so we think it might have been him. Remember?
Oh, that's right.
It was Hank had to get the black water. Yeah, or the gray water. I think it's both.
It
out
was,
of the bus. Yeah. And he puked right away, right after we had done it. But yeah, this is, it's crazy.
A little bit different setup than that.
Yeah,
one.
Well, we should say too, we are in the beautiful Ameristar, our hotel in Black Hawk, Colorado. Come visit it. It's incredible. So thank you to Penn. Penn Entertainment. Do you guys see the change?
No.
Huge. Yeah. New logo. And everything.
We're expanding.
Yeah. Penn Entertainment. They've been taking great care of us. We're only here for tonight. We're then going to get a little grittier, maybe a night in the bus.
Well, they did put a Mad Dog in my room, which I really appreciate. I feel like that's one of those things. Icing hasn't been hot for a while, but that's the equivalent of icing me when I see it. I haven't drank a Mad Dog in probably a couple years, and I feel like once Once you hit like your mid-30s, you should probably not be drinking gas station wine anymore. However, if it's put in front of me, I feel like it would be impolite of me to not drink it.
And it will go brazy up in the altitude.
It will go brazy,
absolutely.
Yeah.
The Zins go brazy in the altitude.
They do.
The two nicest hotels I've ever stayed at in my life, by far, are the Ameristar here and the Lake Charles place we stayed at.
The best
Penn properties.
The best part about when we stay at a Penn property, they obviously give us like a bunch of nice stuff when we show up, like a bunch of, you know, snacks and everything. And they personalize them. Like, you got a Mad Dog, Billy got corn. And then every time I go to my room, it's just the most amount of candy possible. So it's just such a subtle, like, you're a fat ass. And obviously, like, I walked in, I just had a Twix bar and some gummy bears instantly. So, I mean, it worked. Like, it's not, I didn't turn it down, but it does hurt a little bit inside.
Yeah, no, the candy is a nice touch. The candy apparently also helps with the altitude sickness.
Yes.
That's what I've been told.
Just fill up on candy. All right, so Grit Week 2022, Aaron Rodgers, incredible interview coming up. I can't believe we got him.
Can I just say that I think I like him?
I do not.
I do.
Yeah.
I like him.
I was nervous. I was nervous about the interview, not because, like, we've done a million interviews. It was that I knew he was going to try to win me with kindness, and he did try to win me with kindness. And there was a moment where I kind of liked him, but I think I hate him now again.
The only reason I kind of hate him is because the podcast about ayahuasca dropped the day after we visited him.
Yeah.
So we couldn't talk about that. I made a joke about ayahuasca to him, and he kind of admitted that he took it. And then I thought later, I was like, wait, did Aaron Rodgers just admit on part of my take that he took ayahuasca? That's going to be huge. And then fucking undercut us like a motherfucker. Like,
he so described that makes me, his whole life with ayahuasca.
That makes me like him a little bit less. But yeah, it was good. You know, this was a long time coming for sure. One of the white whales
that
we have on part of my take. And the white whales are dying at an alarming rate.
Like, yes.
We're running out of white whales.
We got to restock. I was thinking about it because we were talking about it after. Like, what are the white whales? Kevin Durant's still there. Bill Belichick.
Tom.
Which Tom? Oh, there's Tommy Smokes. I mean, he's a reality show king.
Hanks.
I think Jameis is a white whale. I'll throw him in there.
Jameis?
Yeah. Jameis would be so much fun.
He would be fun.
He's not the biggest whale out there.
No, but he's maybe a baby white whale. Like a smaller white whale.
He's a calf.
Yeah, right, exactly. Baby. He's just swimming, yeah. Yeah.
Who else would there be?
LeBron.
LeBron, definitely. He's probably going to come on soon.
Mm-hmm.
I want to interview Pete Carroll.
Yeah, Pete Carroll's up there. We still got some work to do. Mm-hmm. But this was a good one. All right, so what else? There hasn't been a lot going on in sports other than, did you guys see Daniel Vogelbach running around the bases today? It was majestic.
Yeah.
The Mets are as hot as possible, and the Yankees are completely dying, which hurts the Subway Series hopes of everyone.
I think the Yankees will be just fine. Their BABIP is going to improve.
They're bad right now. They're really bad right now. What are you going to say, Jake?
They still have 70 wins. Like,
they suck.
They're slumping right now. But
as pinstripe, let me put on my pinstripe Dan hat right now. They suck. Blow up the team. They won't even make the playoffs.
It's been the same team 5 years in a row.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't look now.
I was in some replies earlier. I just saw people saying that. Yankees fans falling apart.
So, Big Cat, your pick of the Mariners to win the World Series.
That was my preseason pick.
Preseason pick. They're still in it. My preseason pick from the NL is coming on strong right now, the Phillies.
Yes.
The Phillies are fucking good.
Schwarber.
Yeah.
And Batgirl's he's editing some stuff right now, so he can't speak to it. But he was just like, I think someone when we got on the plane was like, Phillies look good. He's like, dude, Schwarber. And a little part of me died.
Yeah.
It really hurt when he said that.
And it's all of us,
too. All of us.
Like, he got a taste.
Yeah.
I got a taste last year.
That's for life.
Yeah. It's still whatever. I don't want to start getting bummed out about the Cubs.
That's what happens when Bryce Harper stops playing for your team. You accomplish big things.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll be back. Ready to mash soon. So, yeah, the Phillies. Yeah, EPL started. Who cares?
I care a little bit.
I care. I watched a little.
It's just good to have sports on in the morning when you wake up. That's the only thing. It's like the NFL game in London.
No, it doesn't end before. It's the longest season in the world.
No, they take a break.
They take a break.
Yeah.
It also is on.
What's that eye roll for? You think that they shouldn't take a break? You think all the best players in the world should just... Why did you eye roll?
Or just figure out a season that isn't going to interfere like with the World Cup.
Well, usually it doesn't.
The World Cup doesn't, yeah.
It's because we decided to play a World Cup in the fucking desert.
It's because the slaves didn't meet the deadline in Qatar, and so they had to push it back.
Air conditioning costs too much in the middle of August in Qatar.
Mm-hmm.
So I care, but like not the first game. And also it's all on Peacock now, which is that extra step that's going to like kill my ability to just turn it on.
That's
when
really,
you do the extra step, it's like, all right, you know what? I'll find something else.
I mean, cards on the table. This is really the only weekend that I care about EPL because it's
really?
The first one.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, it's back. I missed this.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to completely forget about it.
Yeah. Okay. So that was big. I had one other story.
I was talking soccer.
I had one other story before we do who's back. PFT, I read this quote to everyone before you got in the room. Did you see Pete Rose today?
I did.
Was honored for the 1980 World Series for the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see a reporter
yes.
asked? So a reporter asked Pete Rose, a female reporter asked Pete Rose about the allegations that he had sex with a minor back in like 1970s. And he replied, no, I'm not here to talk about that. Sorry about that. It was 55 years ago, babe.
Yeah, the babe at the end is just, I mean, what else would you expect from Pete Rose?
Yeah, he also apologized for that after, and he said, will you forgive me if I sign 1,000 baseballs for you?
Did he really say
yes.
that? Pete Rose, still the only guest that has requested us pay him
correct.
To come on to Part of My Take.
He also went on the broadcast, and I think they're probably regretting having him on the broadcast, because this was just, I'm going to pull up real quick, a quick snippet of him on the broadcast. This is the Phillies broadcast. He joined them in the booth.
I hit a cock-high fastball. And Joe didn't know what to say. Joe said, no shit.
On the broadcast, talking about hitting cock-high fastballs.
I mean, this is what, you're not going to expect like an eloquent response from Pete Rose about anything.
No.
He's just going to be like, do you have money for me?
Yes,
I still gamble heavily.
How many balls can I sign for the max amount of money?
Yeah.
I need.
How many baseballs can I sign to get myself out of the statutory rape charge?
Yes. He was probably pissed that he had to go to Philly, you know, Saratoga's running Del Mar. Like, he probably wanted to watch the horses.
I would expect that Pete Rose's answer to a question like that would be, well, how old is she now? Like 55? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, he said, the other part was, he's like, you weren't even born yet. You shouldn't care about things that you weren't born for.
Mm-hmm.
Hank somehow agrees.
Hank's like, you know, World War II was a complicated conflict. Yeah.
We weren't alive for it. We didn't get to hear both sides.
Yeah.
Okay? There's a lot of nuance there.
Disavow.
any other stories? I mean, this is the lull of training camp, right? I feel like this was the weekend that every team had their family night, or like, you know, fans got to show up, take a video of one player getting cooked,
yeah,
or one awesome play, and be like, yeah, look at our team's going
to
be awesome.
This is when they need to do bark at the ballpark.
Yeah.
Where they have all the dogs invited.
Yeah.
Like every team, it should actually be a night across
the
baseball.
The dog should be on the field.
Dog night. Yeah.
Yeah, on the field.
Let him run. Let him take shits everywhere.
Michael Vick is like, damn, the whole you guys came up with this a little too late for me.
Yeah. So the only other news that's out there is Deshaun Watson suspension being appealed, and Goodell designated his assigned like hearer of the suspension, who's definitely just going to do whatever Roger Goodell asks him to do. So that's probably going to happen next week at some point.
Yes.
That's about it.
Yeah.
I just think him and Brittany Griner should trade punishments.
Yeah, that one guy. Yeah, Brittany Griner did get her. Was it Friday that she got 9 years?
Like 6 weeks. Okay.
Fucking
yeah, that
insane.
That makes sense. Yeah, 6 weeks seems reasonable for her.
I also, like, my content brain, Brittany Griner should be freed. She should be back home. It's fucking ridiculous. But I was thinking that, like, if Batgirl does something bad and we do a free Batgirl hashtag,
yeah,
and get a little cross-pollination, so free BG.
That would be
and
good.
Just like, well, we're talking about our Batgirl, not Brittany Griner.
Yeah, well,
but she should be freed.
It depends on who arrests Batgirl, if they have somebody that we want to get back in exchange.
Yeah.
Like, because that's what's going on with Brittany Griner right now. She got the big sentence, which is like 10 years, because she couldn't be traded back until she was sentenced.
Correct.
And now they've got her for 10 years, so it's a lot of leverage. And now Putin's asking for, like, the god of war.
Yeah, or it's a merchant
like
of war.
Yeah.
Merchant of death. Yeah. He's an arms dealer. There's actually people now grading the trade.
Yeah.
People are like, this isn't a fair trade.
No, I ran
We're
into
giving
the
up
ESPN
the merchant
simulator.
Of, yeah. It's like, we got to at least get some cap space back.
Yeah.
This is bullshit. Billy, what were you going to say?
There was a crazy viral video of Jordan Davis absolutely blowing up
Dude,
Jason
Kelce.
It was so remarkable to see a guy like that get pushed back 10 yards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jordan Davis is like, every time I see a picture of him, he looks so young and he's so big.
Yeah.
And he's so fucking big.
How do you look running to the sideline, Billy? That's the big question.
Yeah, that
on
is
him, right?
A big question.
Did he have
I
stamina?
I didn't see him hustle back after the play.
Okay.
And
so,
also,
I was just going to say that with Jordan Davis, that was the pick of the draft. There were actually, I'm going to put it in the same category as the Ravens when they just get great players that fall to them.
Yes.
When the Eagles picked him, I was like, why is he still on the board? Yes. Why did they get him?
Yes. And I did make a future bet on the Eagles and Ravens, which is probably stupid because it's based solely on the draft.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah, that might be a better thing to do like 2 years from now.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, that's okay. Opportunities now. Billy, did you see Zach Wilson catching a ball with one hand too?
Yeah,
that's pretty cool for the Jets that everyone's getting excited about their quarterback catching a ball.
He did with his like tips of his
fingers. I know, and everyone's like, holy shit, Zach Wilson, beast mode. It's like, but he's got to throw it.
Yeah, Brady can't do it.
Superman catches bullets the same way.
Yeah, but again, he's got to throw it, not catch it.
Who cares?
If he does like a Brett Favre and throws and catches his own interception, he'll be in a good spot.
He had an amazing last day at camp.
Oh, great.
He had zero incompletions.
Wow. How many completions?
I think he went 15 for 15.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to be like four.
Well, those are always the best stat lines to come out of training camps when it's like, okay, yeah, a ball didn't touch the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably because he was going up against a second team defense, I would imagine.
And they're all scripted plays and the defense has like maybe doesn't even know they're doing.
The most impressive thing that I saw was earlier today out of the Chiefs training camp, their safety kicked a 65-yard field goal.
What?
Oh, that was your who's back. Sorry, Hank.
Okay,
I've got several, so I can give Hank one.
All right, let's get to our who's back. Who's back of the week? Brought to you by our friends at Roman. Testosterone is an important part of a man's body and health, but men's testosterone starts to deplete with age, which is why it's important you support it early. Signs of low T can include a decline in energy and stamina, an addiction to corn, weight gain, hair loss, and low sex drive. Roman's testosterone support supplements were designed by real doctors to help men maintain their body's natural testosterone production. I don't know what they're whispering about right now, but
I'm giving Hank a who's back because I took his.
The daily supplement includes 6 nutrients to help support testosterone levels, bone health, and muscle development. Who wouldn't want to have the proper levels of T in their body? So go get Roman.com/PMT to get $15 off your first order of Roman T support. That's GetRoman.com/PMT. GetRoman.com/PMT. Check it out today. GetRoman.com/PMT. All right, Hank.
So my who's back was actually Cody Parkey.
Because
Justin Reed hit a 65-yard field goal and then just in classic ricochet NFL fan form. All the replies were just like, no one showed this to Bear fans. No one showed this to Bear fans.
Yep.
That seems like a long time ago, but it's still one of those things.
No,
like,
anytime a doink never happens.
Know, but not even a doink. It was just
a double doink.
It was a crazy long field goal.
Yeah. I mean, what you need to have happen is somebody to miss a field goal in more spectacular fashion.
Probably won't happen.
Right now, that's the most heartbreaking field goal that we have in recent memory. So until somebody fucks it up worse, then that's just what we're going to go with.
Yes.
My other who's back is the Choco Taco.
Oh, good who's back, Hank.
Yeah.
Thanks. They said they're bringing it back.
They just heard that. Yeah. Stay woke.
Yes.
Went Morbin time.
That was a genius move.
Choco Taco's going Morbin.
They just reminded everyone the Choco Taco rules.
Yeah, and then everyone was like,
pull it away.
Please no, please don't take away my beloved Choco Taco.
Right.
It's all I have going for me in this shitty life.
And now all you'll think about when you see the Choco Taco, you're like, gotta get it before it runs out.
You never know.
Right.
They should just announce that they're discontinuing it and then just never do anything to it and have it just constantly be in stock the same amount that it is right now.
Yeah.
But it'll just fly off the shelves.
We're discontinuing Billy talking on Pardon My Take.
No, that's real though. we're discontinuing Pardon My Take. This is the last episode
ever.
Retiring. Thank you guys for listening to the last episode.
If we ever got
the
Rogers.
Last 7 years,
it's
meant a lot.
I said, if we get Aaron Rodgers on this show, I'll never do another podcast.
Mm-hmm. Someone's gonna write an article and they're gonna think it's real.
No, this is real.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're quitting.
Glass Beagle, run with it.
Yeah. All right. Your who's back, PFT.
Well, Hank stole mine with Choco Taco, but my other who's back of the week is Earth. Mm. Earth is back. There was an article that came out last Friday that said that the Earth is now spinning faster than it has before.
Whoa.
So specifically on June 29th, midnight arrived 1.59 milliseconds sooner than expected. So it's spinning up. It's going faster than it has before. Don't know what that's all about, It doesn't sound good.
It's going to fuck up technology.
That sounds bad.
It is going to fuck up technology.
It was like Y2K all over again?
Actually, though.
I was going to say it's like the Houston Astros 2020 season all over again.
Yes, yes.
Get Trevor Bauer on the case. Figure out what's going on with spin rate.
This is a problem. Yeah, maybe we just have too much spider tack on the ozone layer right now.
And now, I don't know if this was hand-timed or electronically timed. Like, there's some nerd. This is one of those things that I didn't even know that we kept track of as the human race, but apparently there's some scientist somewhere in a mountain that like checks at the end of every day how long the day was.
What, does he just see how fast it is for him to get back to the exact same point?
Yeah, I guess so. That's probably how you do it. But right? It's a great excuse for anyone who's running late for something.
You just put...
Sorry, the earth sped up. Not my fault.
You put a balloon in the air and wait till you get back to it?
Yeah, that's probably what it is. That's
exactly what it is.
I respect science, but like scientists have some of the biggest rackets going.
Oh, they could say anything and everyone would be like, holy shit, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, specifically, climate change, right, Hank?
Which specifically?
No, we're talking about... No.
I want to hear one. I want to hear an example of another racket that scientists have going on.
The people that do the fucking... The star is like 2,000 years ahead. Look at these super close images we got.
Yeah, anytime we take a picture,
there's 100 galaxies. Like the one that came out last week, we were talking about.
You're talking about
astronomers? Like a bunch of rocks. Yeah.
No, someone found a picture of like a rug that looked exactly like it. It should be a picture of a rug.
Yeah, and it's like,
a doctor's office.
What do they do? What is that knowledge going to help us with?
I don't know. Maybe
find us aliens.
It means next time we'll have like a slightly clearer picture of those rocks.
Right, yeah. And what? They're 2,000 years behind us? Like, sweet.
It's a little bit further than that. I think it's probably like 50 million.
Yeah. But like, I don't
maybe a couple billion years.
It's just mind blowing, all of it.
Yeah. How does that help society?
Well, this is what happens to Hank when he hears something that's so like enormous and the magnitude of it is too hard to comprehend that your brain goes into fight or flight mode and you're just like, no, fuck you.
Yeah. Scientists and objects.
Yeah.
And what do they do?
Yeah. The spin rate stuff makes sense. Like, that's a real problem.
If there's two things that Hank absolutely knows nothing about, it's geological time and vaginas.
Well, no, Ogden, it's like, why? Again,
abstract theories to him.
I don't, whatever. Why would I know what an Ogden was back then? I do now.
All right. My Who's Back is us, PMT. We're back. Grit Week, we're back. And also, we're back because every now and then we get a couple tweets here and there where people are like, oh, you guys are recycling guests or you don't have, new guests. We Will obviously had Aaron on the bus on Friday. So we had a few people being like, PMT could never. I just want to remind you, we've been doing this for 7 years. We do 3 episodes a week. We have 3 guests a week. Sometimes you got to slap everyone around and be like, just shut up. Okay?
Still got it.
We know what we're doing. I know that like people want to pretend that like we don't know what we're doing whatsoever. Here's the best way to put it. When people might think like we don't care, I spent the majority of July being nice to Aaron Rodgers via text message trying to get this interview. I had to suck up so much shit being like, haha, Aaron, we should do an interview. It was torture for me, and I was doing it for the AWL. So next time you're like, oh, you guys don't have it anymore. Like, I need more of this guest. Don't worry. We're always working on it. We're always working on new guests, new people. Again, show me a podcast that does 3 interviews a week for 7 years. There are none.
We're like swans. We look like everything's going smooth above the surface, but you get under that water and you just see feet just kicking, kicking, kicking.
Dude, we're always kicking. I'm going to look up how many times I had to fucking say ha-ha to him. It's fucking brutal.
Like liking messages and shit.
Dude, I had to suck up my pride because there was multiple times where he's probably doing ayahuasca and I texted later, it was like 6 blue bubbles in a row. And I was just like, this fucking sucks because I'm just, and we were going to try to go to Austin to interview him. And at one point we had it planned and I was thinking the whole time in the back of my head, like, he's just going to set me up. Like, we're going to go down there. He's just not even going to be there.
I would actually, I would have respected that a lot if he had just pranked us. If he pulled Evander Holyfield on us.
He dominated me via text. I did it for the AWL. So next time you think you want to go on the Twitter machine and be like, you guys suck, you don't have your fastball, just remember I'm probably completely emasculating myself to some guest for you.
Mm-hmm.
You think I want to be emasculated by Kevin Durant every day?
The last couple weeks, you've been working hard on Aaron Rodgers, and you gave me your first class seat.
Yes.
Like, this has been an all-time week for you.
Which, now that we went on the plane, I regret it so much. Oh, Hank saw me squeezed into this seat, and I was like 26F, and Hank just was laughing in my face, because it was, as Hank said, I have size issues. I did not fit in this seat. And the worst thing that ever can happen on a plane, well, I guess a plane crash, but the second worst thing that could ever happen on a plane.
It really happens on the ground, yeah, not on a plane, though.
Falling asleep on a plane and waking up and you haven't even taken off, the fucking worst.
Yeah.
I took like a nice 20-minute snooze, woke up, and I was like, wait, we're still in fucking New York? What
the
hell?
Did you think you landed for a second?
For a brief second, I was like, yes, I did it.
I didn't really mind it that much because I had two glasses of champagne. I kicked my feet back a little bit. It reclined. It was lovely up there. Now, if you're saying, hey, PFT, why'd you sit first class? It's grit week. Well, first of all, it wasn't my choice. Big Cat forced it upon me.
No, I gave
second,
you
second, I tried to give it back to Big Cat when we boarded the plane today. And Big Cat was like, no, you take it, and kept walking through the aisle. And then I said, well, I'm going to give it to Hank if you don't take it. And then Big Cat stopped. He was like, wait.
Don't, because he sleeps the whole time. Yeah, and then I was like, we'll split halfway through. And then PFT on a four-hour flight texted me with 30 minutes left, being like, you want to split?
The time gets shorter every time the story gets told. There was an hour left. I did fall asleep on the flight.
You could have texted me, by the way.
In my defense, it was the grittiest first-class seat possible because it was the very front row.
No TVs.
So no TVs. I had to put my backpack up in an overhead storage bin, so it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows up there. The second glass of champagne was slightly small. They kind of shorted me on that pour, and then the dinner was it was a little salty.
Yeah, I saw them walking the dinner back by all of us, like in like the tray. I was like, fuck, I really
Flight attendants absolutely hate you guys. They hate everyone that's not sitting in first class.
Oh, yeah.
And like open disdain.
I even if you had texted me like 30 minutes after takeoff to be like, let's switch, I wouldn't have been able to because I was that wedged into my seat. It would have taken so long for me to get out.
You know what I really wanted to have happen is I should have texted you like an hour in. Chances are you'd probably say, No, I don't want any more, just so that you can still have that card on me. But if you had tried to take it and gotten up to the front and then taken my seat and then the flight attendant kicks
like,
you out,
no, you can't
that's
do it.
What I wanted. I wanted to get to sit down and then get kicked out of first class.
I'm happy because I made it here, and the next time there's only one first class ticket, I will take it. No,
I know. I'd like to give you that ticket next time.
Thank you. All right, Billy, your who's back?
My who's back is food challenges. I am coming out of retirement.
Yes.
It's finally been a long enough time since I think it was the cheeseburger incident where like I'm ready to do it again, and I don't remember how sick it made me feel, so I'm going in this 1,000%.
So how many are you doing?
I think as many
three,
as we can
four,
do.
Four? Five?
I want at
some
least,
are saying that the real food challenge is doing five.
I know. Depending on our schedule, I think we can do three. So okay. I got three spots.
I think three.
So you've already failed the five food challenge.
Well,
challenge.
Well, I never. So I'm hyped. It's going to be exciting. I've been, you know, tonight's a big prep night for me, so I'm going to have to be eating a lot. I'm actually taking these very seriously.
Billy, I'm very excited because I love watching you compete and get bodied by food.
It's the best.
It's so much fun.
I think
food
I
is undefeated
up,
against
if
you.
I pick up a dove, I'm going to be so happy.
But that's what I told you. Remember when this all started? I was like, Billy, this is great content because chances are you're going to get continually get bodied. But when you do win one, people are going to be so pumped.
I mean, I might fail the first two, but those will help me to the third.
Correct.
And it's like,
I'm also interested to know what you're doing to train tonight. You said that you're already putting in work. I want to know what that looks like specifically.
Stomach expansion's a big one. This past week, I've been eating a lot.
Nice.
I've been chugging water.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to be really good at this food challenge also.
Did you see the 19-ounce burrito? Are we going to do that one?
Yes, that's one of them.
How long you have?
The timing is going to be hard.
2 minutes.
19 ounces?
Shut up.
2 minutes.
But it's not.
19 ounces isn't that big.
No, 2 minutes.
Yeah, 2 minutes is tough.
2 minutes.
That's a little bit over like a beer can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's 2 minutes.
Just dislocate your jaw like a snake.
I ate one of my cheesesteaks in 1 minute.
Oh, nice.
TikTok.
Cool. That's pretty good.
Yeah. So,
well, you do deep throat.
Actually?
Yeah. It was 1 minute and 12 seconds, but
no gag reflex on
is
our
the
boy.
6-inch or the 12-inch?
6 inch.
Oh, yeah. It's just okay. Well, that's an average size cheese.
Good
steak.
Journalist question there, Jake, because that was we just glossed over that fact.
I thought I could get away with it. But I'm absolutely pigging out tonight.
Okay.
That's love how you're preparing?
At the Ameristar. Sorry. Yeah, I'm going
love
ham.
It. Love it. All right, Jake, you're who's back, and then we'll get to Aaron Rodgers.
My who's back? The Water Dogs. These guys are on fire right
now. Yeah, they are.
They started 0-3. They've won 5 straight at 5-3. I believe you owe them an apology.
You know what? I'll do it right now. Means just send this to them. Water Dogs, I apologize for absolutely nothing. You fucking suck. You're going to continue to suck. You're not going to win shit. I know that. You're on a nice little winning streak. You probably played the worst teams in the league. Once we get to the playoffs, you're going to fucking suck, and I'm going to laugh at you.
Yeah.
There's my apology. Send that to them.
I think I creeped them out a little bit on Saturday because I tried to motivate them. And I wanted them to get some interaction online. So
you
I
put
said,
peanut butter on your balls?
No, I said I said that if they didn't win, I would poison one bag of dog food somewhere on the Eastern Seaboard.
Ooh.
And then, like, I kind of joke. Well, I am joking about that, but
I hope.
But they don't. They're a very brand safe Twitter account sometimes, so they see that and they're like, "Oh my! I don't know what to do with this information about this podcaster threatening to kill a dog if we don't win." Fortunately, they did win in overtime.
There was a switch. The Water Dogs switched whoever runs that account, because last year they were like our subs. We were our dom. Like, we just made fun of them and they took it and they loved it. This year it feels like they don't really like the fact that we make fun of them constantly.
Well, I got a text from somebody that
checking
works
in for the day being like,
yeah, fuck, what are these guys tweeting again?
I got a text from somebody that works at the PLL being like, hey, just so you know, I think they're I think the person that runs that Twitter account is a little freaked out by your tweet. I was like, don't worry. I'm not actually going to kill a dog if they win.
Yeah. They're also, by the way, the PLL has, did you see their throwback? We need those.
Yeah.
We need the throwback jerseys. It's obviously there's, you know.
To last year?
It's what it would have been if they played. The PLL existed in the 1980s, and they did, it's like champion throwbacks. Paul, I know you listen to every second of this podcast. Send us all some throwback Water Dog stuff.
So they're in fourth place right now. They beat top three teams.
Oh, so we're celebrating that they're in fourth place?
No, saying they haven't beaten
regular
anyone.
Season, bro.
They're not even a wild card.
Who they beat? The fucking Snakes?
Whip Snakes are 7-1. They're only lost to the Water Dogs.
Sick. Not really. They lost to the Water Dogs.
I know, but that was just an off game.
If this was the BCS, the Whip Snakes would be out. You can't lose to the Water Dogs. Mm-hmm. You just lost to Purdue.
It's true.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So 2 weeks left of regular season, heating up.
Wow, PLL. Paul that's really a, should do the BCS for the PLL.
Get people mad about rankings?
Yeah, just do a computer rankings and have it only be a two-team final. Like, don't have a playoffs.
Oh, I have a vote as a media member for the postseason awards.
Oh.
We'll be taking that.
Yes. Is that ethical?
Thank you very much.
Is that ethical?
Yeah.
Because you'll be handing that over to us.
He's not an
technically,
owner.
You're not an owner.
I'm not an owner either. I never fill out the paperwork.
But you do work with the owners.
Yes, but not on the team side.
Yeah, I filled out that paperwork.
I don't work with you on the behind the scenes of the team.
And then finally, Paul got so mad at us because he's like, you know, this is actual paperwork and they're outstanding shares
of
this team.
Yeah, he did get
mad. And for legal reasons.
Yeah.
And it took like 3 or 4 different emails for him to really impress that on us.
And it took like 1 second once you actually logged in. So, yeah. Okay. Anything else?
A lot of former Denver University players on the Water Dogs.
Cool.
As we're in Denver.
Okay.
Nice.
Well,
beautiful. Black Rock. Yeah.
Black Hawk.
I said it, Black Hawk. What are you saying?
No, that was a cell phone situation.
Did you say Black Hawk?
Black Hawk. Yeah. All right. Let's get to Aaron Rodgers. Before we do that, PFT, you got a quick word from one of our sponsors.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Now here's Aaron Rodgers.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset, hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, we have them. We got them. It is he's won one Super Bowl, which we can get into because I have the theory that if you win one Super Bowl, you actually have none. He is a four-time MVP of the league. He has an 11-10 postseason record, 1-4 in NFC championship games. I'm just introducing you. One of the best quarterbacks ever, Aaron Rodgers. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay. I don't really know where to start other than, like, okay, how dare you? So big, how dare you?
Big Cat will not ask you any questions that aren't threatening, so I'll start it because we ask everybody this
on
Grit
Week.
Yes,
I forgot about that. I got blinded with rage.
What does grit mean to you? Wait, are you recording this? I know you like to – you don't trust the media. Do you have your own tape player going?
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, what does grit mean to you?
Means you're from Pittsburgh.
Ooh.
Okay.
That's actually an answer we haven't had yet.
It's a great answer,
and
though.
It's true.
That's what's been ingrained in me since I was a second-year player in the league. I've been surrounded by Pittsburgh people, everybody from Mike McCarthy to Tom Clements to Ben McAdoo, Dom Capers, Darren Perry, Frank Signetti, a lot of Pittsburgh people.
Mike
and all they talk about is just toughness, man.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That is true.
Pittsburgh grit.
Putting fries on sandwiches.
Wait, so are you saying that you miss Mike McCarthy?
I love Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why don't you marry him? Why don't you just have him back here? Have him be your coach?
I think he's doing pretty good in Dallas.
Yeah.
He's okay.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to sidetrack. We got a lot of stuff to get to.
I can't wait.
Did Mike McCarthy ever smash a watermelon in front of you?
I never saw that, no.
Okay, because he did that with the Cowboys, and they won a big game, and we were wondering if that was like a party trick he pulled out for all of his teams.
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay.
He never did that in 14 years with us.
Yeah. Are you a little disappointed that he never thought highly enough of you?
I am disappointed. Now, we did do a lot of fun things. The McCarthy Olympics was one fun thing that we did every year in training camp, but no watermelons.
What's involved in the McCarthy Olympics?
There was a dunk tank. There was a penalty shot. We had it at his property. He obviously, like anybody would in Green Bay, bought a 30-acre property. And then spent who knows how much money building this big berm so nobody could look at him on one side of the road. And then he bought up all the houses around him. So he had just a massive property. So it was, you know, there was like a 100-yard golf shot. There was a soccer thing. There was indoor basketball. There was golf, long drive. There was three-point competition. There was dunk tank. There was lawn darts, you know, all the good stuff, beer chugging, which I would have won probably.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
I've seen that Bucks games.
I
don't know.
I have that written down. You can't chug a beer.
See, I'm going to take all your information and just put it out there so you can't do anything.
I have a feeling that you've done some opposition research going into this interview.
No, of course not.
I don't believe that for a second.
You're confident enough?
What's opposition research have to do
You know anything? Stuff about mostly him, I would imagine.
I do, yes.
Yeah, so you...
Caleb told me a lot.
Listen, okay. All right, let's just cut through it.
Put our cards on the table.
If you had to go to jail or prison, which one would you pick?
What's the difference?
Well, jail's probably a little lighter
like
than prison.
County jail? Yeah.
I've said, yeah. Listen.
Maybe you like the people, Manhattan Correctional Facility with like a real jacked up former cop as your cellmate for a night?
Yeah.
From what I've read, I think if anybody in this room, and I don't know some of the other people in here, and Tom has a sketchy past, but I think you would... probably be most likely to go to jail between all of us anyway.
Really?
Yeah.
I have committed some crimes. That's fine. But I also admit to the crimes I commit where you don't. And you kind of skirt around it. But listen, I'm actually very realistic about you as a player. I've always said you're a very good quarterback. Very good quarterback. Even league MVP four times, right? I do think that you should be in jail or prison. And I'm fair to say you get to pick. I think jail's better than prison, so you can have that, and I will meet you halfway.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll work on it. Let's try a different angle. How close were you to retiring? Be honest.
Close. I don't know. How close is close? I was thinking about it, yeah.
So, Jeopardy, that would have been cool.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Yeah.
Did you want that job?
I did.
Ooh.
I feel like it's a thankless job, though. Because that's become one of those shows where no matter who's hosting it, it's almost like the Jeopardy community loves to like nitpick at the host and be like, you're not Alex Trebek.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the case. And I would say for many of the shows that I grew up watching, that is definitely the case. You know, Price is Right. Nobody can ever be Bob Barker.
Best show ever.
But I will say one guy who's transcended all of that and even surpassed Louis Anderson, who nobody thought ever could, is Steve Harvey. with Family Feud.
He's America's host.
Family
You're right.
Feud. You know, I mean, that show went through so many different people, and although they didn't maybe to have one iconic host other than Louis, you know, I think Steve definitely did that.
But. So I was actually like, like I said, I'm actually fair with you. You might think I'm not fair, but when you were, you know, saying that you wanted
no offense, but I don't watch your stuff.
What? My what?
We don't think about you at all.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I either way, that's fine. You don't have to watch anything. But
I'm a big Portnoy fan. Like, I'll watch his, you know, pizza reviews cookie reviews and ice cream reviews. Mm-hmm. You know, that's
you never
fun.
Think about us. That's fine. I wanted you to have the Jeopardy job. I was pushing for it.
Just so you could slam me or?
No, I wanted you to have the job so you could be happy. And because clearly you don't like playing football. So it was like, let's get this guy happy.
Oh,
I'm a humanitarian.
You want me out of the NFC North. I got it.
I also would like to say, like, I saw your golf game.
See that?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah. Ghost in there.
I saw your golf game. Liv is offering a lot of money. So have you thought about that?
$150 for last place seems like a pretty... pretty fair.
It's a strong offer.
Fair offer.
So we were actually just talking about this the other week. We all have a number. Like, Saudi Arabia could give me $100 million. Yes. Instant yes. What's your number?
Probably around Tiger's number.
$800 million. So there is a chance.
Yeah, I'm going to make some calls. I'm going to work my ass off.
Everybody's got a price.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
We've all got a price.
I will work my ass off to try to get Liv or Jeopardy or anything you want to do. I'm an Aaron Rodgers fan. I'm going to make sure that you're happy doing anything besides football.
In 3 more years.
Ooh, okay, so you're saying you're going to retire after 3 years.
Maybe 4.
Oh, fuck. You're never going to retire. You're never going to retire. I just got one follow-up.
Like, are you really sensitive about what I said last year after I scored that touchdown?
Okay, let's get into it. So you said, I own you.
Yeah.
I fucking own you to the city of Chicago. The city of Chicago has $38.7 billion of debt. So are you going to pay that?
That's a good one.
I mean,
if you own us. No, I don't think I was saying that about the entire city. Now, maybe Soldier Field, every fan who was flipping me off, you know, that negativity that was kind of coming my way.
There was a pretty substantial FCC fine that came Fox's way. Do you own that fine? You can't just say fuck on TV.
I don't think
it's supposed to be a 10-second delay. So I think that's out of my hands.
Yeah, I actually own you because I'm a Packers owner.
Fact.
Yeah.
So I own you, you own him.
You own a piece of paper that has zero actual value.
It's legit. I actually stole it from our goldfish. So our goldfish owned you. Then he died. Then I inherited the share. Now I own you. You own Big Cat. So I inherit that debt.
Okay.
Do you feel bad for what you've done to my friend Big Cat?
No, I don't.
At all. Not at all. Because, I don't know if you can tell this.
I think he's conflicted. You know, he's conflicted. It's kind of like Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker. Remember? You know, he's like, I can feel the conflict within you. And he says this fake statement like, oh, there's no conflict. I'd move on. Inside, he went to Wisconsin. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I hate you, though. I hate the
He's
Packers.
Seen some of my all-time best moments on the field. Not only at Soldier Field, but also at Ford Field.
Mm-hmm. So I was a Lions fan for 24 hours.
But deep down.
And I went to go help support the Lions fans to try to beat the Packers, and then you threw the Hail Mary right in my face, directly in my face. Like I said, you've tortured me. They had me on the way over here. They were like, what's the worst moment, Aaron Rodgers versus the Bears? And I just started listing like a laundry list, and it goes on forever. Do you get extra like – do you actually relish in the fact that you beat the Bears the way you do every single year?
Yes.
Fuck. I mean, I knew the answer to that.
Because it's a great sports town. You know, if we're beating up on a town that doesn't have great sports history, it's like just another win. But Chicago is Chicago. You got 100 years of Bears football, almost, right? You have the Chicago Bulls. I grew up a Bulls fan. You know, back on my old TV, we had like 7 dials, you know, and you had to like hit it just right with the antenna doing. We could get WGN, so we could watch, you know, Cubs baseball and Harry Carey. Yeah. You know, that was like iconic, and Bulls basketball.
So we're like,
so I grew up watching Chicago sports.
So, all right, what's your favorite memory? I'm just going to do this because everyone's going to want to hear it. What's your favorite memory of beating the Bears? What's your favorite Bears all time? Because there are a lot. I actually, like, weirdly, I'll tell you mine first because there's, you know, Randall Cobb was terrible. Mm-hmm. The NFC Championship game was terrible. When you faked you had an injury with Khalil Mack that first half and you came back. Weirdly, though, the one that just kills me the most, because actually Hank and Dave, we were in Arizona
for some college football thing, and we watched Sunday Night Football. It was a game that you put up, like, I think you guys were up 42-0 at half, and they just laughed at me for an entire half, and they're like, how do you watch this? That one hurts, I think, weirdly the most. So what's your favorite? Go ahead.
Well, that one hurts because it was 42-whatever at halftime, and I'd thrown 6 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And the record is 7. And Mike was gonna sit me, and I was like, how about one more possession? He goes, okay, one more. So we got down to the 9-yard line and threw it 3 times, 3 incompletions. So
Ben, don't break.
Yeah. So we went up 45-0.
Yeah. All right. So what's your favorite?
Probably 2013.
Okay.
Only because I came back from my collarbone. Randall came back from his knee injury. And then somehow it was for the division. You know, after so many things happened, you know, for us to be able to be in it. And I believe that Detroit was still in it the week before. Then they had a bad loss to somebody. So then it came down to, like, our game. And, you know, neither team I don't think was great that year. Mm-hmm. But we're still playing for a home playoff game. And I start off, I throw a pick to Chris Conte on a rollout. And I'm like, shit, like, is it going to go like this, you know, tonight? And then I threw another pick to Jennings in I think the second or third quarter, and then we had that weird fluky Pep, you know, caused a fumble, and mm-hmm. Boykin picks it up and nobody's doing anything, and he runs in the end zone, and on the last drive we converted 3 fourth downs, you know, 4th and inches on a dive play, a 4th and 3 on a throw to Jordy. But the last one was pretty amazing.
So what This is terrible. I actually hate that I'm doing this. This is actually my least favorite thing I've ever done coming here right now. But
you look good, though. You look good.
Thank you.
No, I mean, sometimes – no, I mean, you know, I know that we've all struggled with our own issues, and I know weight's been kind of up and down for you, but I feel like you look
good. Well, you don't watch anything I do.
No, I just heard.
Oh, okay, okay. You heard about the weight. All right.
Yeah.
You're
looking good.
Thank you. When you saw – like, what did you see when Chris Conte was just not there? Were you like, holy – did you think you were hallucinating? No one's ever been more open in the history of the NFL.
We have to understand. You have to put it all together. I think people throw blame on Chris or Major or whoever it was on that side. I think Bowman was outside as well on the play. But you guys brought 7, and we blocked with 6, right? So there should have been a free guy. So it was really the rush pattern that got you. Now, the backside – Evan Dietrich-Smith and I believe Josh Sitton did a good job of blocking like 2 or 3. And then John Kuhn comes over and cuts Julius. So I guarantee on the defense that they were expecting the ball to come out quick.
Right.
And that's why they were playing at 10 yards. In fact, there was probably an illegal contact on the play. I think Major Wright just dropped Jordy, who was in number 3 in that spot. But that was a fun feeling.
It was so open. He was so open.
Well, because they're playing for what they should have done was changed the call. I mean, I knew what the check call was.
Okay,
was that one of those plays where when you get up to the line, you see what they're doing, you just know it's a touchdown?
No, I don't know it's a touchdown at all. I was literally trying to throw it hot to Jordy, and then I felt John come out because I didn't think he was going to block Peppers because Pep should have been the free guy in the play, but John was smart and he saw that Evan and Josh had blocked those guys, so he came over and cut Julius.
So, question off of that, question.
Which is why I think Major hit Jordy, because I was going to throw it to Jordy on like a stop route.
So, off of that, real question, real football question. At what point in your career have you been able to be like, I just see everything better than, like, you know, I know what the defense is going to do. I've done this so many times. Like, you almost feel like you're playing at a higher level than everyone else.
It takes a long time, and I don't ever feel like that. I don't think consistently. It's more certain teams you play or certain defense coordinators, you start to get in a rhythm. And even in a game, they ran that same pressure, I think, 2 other times with the same signal. So we came out, they did a signal, I made a check and was thinking about throwing it hot to Jordy. Now, it all just came together because John made a great block and it shouldn't have been like that. But you can get into a rhythm with seeing certain things. I think the most important thing for a quarterback is to figure out what I'm doing. And once you can wipe your mind from that, to be able to see what the defense is doing takes you to a whole nother level, because then you're reading the fronts, you're seeing signals, you're hearing things out there that you might not hear if you just think about what my guys are doing and what this guy's doing and this guy's doing. You know, it's playing on the other side of the football is how you kind of take that jump.
Because it does feel like it at times where, again, there's going to be a compliment, but like you are – you're seeing things and processing things so much faster than everyone else that it feels almost unfair. I don't know if that's just us watching it and being like, holy shit, Aaron Rodgers, or you actually feel that yourself where you're like, I'm processing this so much faster than everyone else.
I feel like that sometimes for sure, but it's just certain games. Some games, teams will be so good at disguise, you're guessing a lot.
Yeah.
And sometimes you guess right and sometimes you guess wrong, and there's going to be mistakes. But certain teams that we played over the year, you kind of feel the rhythm of certain guys and the alignments and the movements and different things to, you know, it's always a chess match with Brian Urlacher because he was so good. They would make everything look the exact same and then run a couple different coverages out of it, and he would change all his checks. So we'd be studying the checks the week before and have like three or four word identifications, and we get in the game and he called the same word to mean something completely different. So it's, but he was doing what I was doing on the other side of the ball.
Right.
He could play that game back to the offense and mess with you. But I feel like you and I can be like Brian and I, because Brian and I, we were on the field. Now we were, you know, I can't say we were friends, but you know, we were harsh competitors and I respected him and tackled him once. But he picked me off quite a few times. I think the most in my career is Brian picking me off three times. But now we're friends.
Yeah, I mean,
it's been on your Brian.
I feel like we could.
These guys know. They see me watch. Like I do really truly hate you, but I also watch you and am like, holy shit! Like the plays he's making are insane. Like that's a fact. I
feel like we could hang out. We could, you know, have a Guinness and Coors eat Light, some pizza and Coors Light. Coors Light sponsor.
Yep. I appreciate that.
I'll be honest. I like you. I don't like what you've done to my friend because you probably aged him like 30 years.
Well, you're a Washington fan, so you don't care.
Yeah, but you don't watch anything that we do. You're right. I'm a nihilist, okay? Like, I'm convincing myself to root for Carson Wentz this year. That's how bad things have gotten. I'm actually a Commanders fan. Don't forget about that name change. But I do like you. I noticed that you had almost like a significant change in perspective over the last few years. It seems like you're having more fun from what I've seen. You're enjoying your teammates. You're enjoying the process. You're enjoying what you get to do while you're still able to do it, which I think is very cool. And you have a good perspective on like where football fits into your life. I think a lot of people don't have that, especially from the outside. So I guess my question is, when did you first try ayahuasca?
A few years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Straight from the source?
What source?
Ecuador?
I don't think it's me. I don't think that would be the source. Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, the tattoo looks better in person.
Thank you.
That's another thing I admire about you.
Yeah.
You're totally go ahead. You're like, listen, if you want to put a needle in my arm and inject whatever you want in there, I'm totally on board with that. I could never do that.
Well,
I actually,
it was very, very important. I immunized this part of my body right here.
Could you explain the tattoo? Because we were trying to figure it out when the picture came out and trying to analyze what it was.
No, I think your analyzation is probably better than my explanation. So
you were just like, give me something cool. I did not make fun of you for the tattoo because what are you, 38? No, you're 40? Are you 42? You should probably retire.
Keep going. Yeah.
I do want to get a tattoo. I don't have
any. What are you, in your late 30s?
I'm 37, yeah.
Nice.
So yeah. Why don't we retire together? I'll walk away from this. You walk away from that. We'll just do it together.
Yeah, sounds good.
We both made enough money. Let's just fuck it. Let's get out of here. Let's go
You're
play
so
golf.
You're so rich, dude.
Let's go play golf. Come on. But yeah, I actually respect the fact that you got a tattoo so late in life because I want to get a tattoo at some point, but I don't. It's hard to be like the late 30s, early 40s guy and be like, oh, here's my first tattoo. Because either you're a tattoo guy or you're not, but you now are.
I am, and I don't care.
Fuck.
About whether you like it or don't like it.
No, I said I like it.
I would like you to like it because I actually don't care.
Yeah. We think that it's cool. I think our analysis was what it looks like the inside of Kyrie Irving's brain.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. I also said I live in Brooklyn now, so I was like, I basically see that tattoo every single day.
Humble brag?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brooklyn's a humble brag.
Here's a real question.
Huge brag. Live in Brooklyn. A place that has like
live in Brooklyn.
3 million people.
Yuppie. Yeah.
Can we run through some football scenarios here? Because as Big Cat was saying, you see everything before it happens. You're playing seven-dimensional chess out there.
Yes.
All right. You score a touchdown. You're down 14 in the fourth quarter. You score a touchdown. Time's running out. Do you go for two the first time? or do you wait to go for two later?
I like going for two later, but our analytics guy likes going for two now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Another one, let's say it's fourth and inches at midfield. Coach sends out the punt team. What would your play call be? A little hard count probably?
Fake punt.
Fake punt?
Yeah, they'd never know it's coming.
Okay, then the last one I had here, hypothetically, fourth down at the 8-yard line. There's 2 minutes, 9 seconds left. You're down eight. You kick a field goal there? Just take the points?
Yeah, just take the points.
Just take the points.
That's it?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the line?
I think it was three.
Yeah,
three and
it
half.
Didn't help us.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
You guys, very upset about that.
Yeah, you guys hit us in the points?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So every time we talk to your coach, LaFleur, we give him a hard time about that. And he's put all of it on you. He's like, Aaron wanted to, you know, kick a field goal. He wanted to get off the field. Mm-hmm.
He like, didn't trust his arm
he
in
was
that
late,
situation.
He was late for a flight to go hang out with Miles Teller in the jungle.
Yeah. So it was – he wanted to get out of there. We're like, all right, fine. It's credit to him. He's never said it publicly.
I think maybe he was thinking if I get three now, then we stop him, get three again, get onside kick, and then another three.
Yes. Yeah.
32-31.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Championship.
No, but seriously, I was joking around earlier, but I have noticed that you've like changed your perspective as your career has matured. Do you think that you love football more than you did when you first started playing in the NFL?
I think I have a better perspective about life now than I did as a 21-year-old. And I'm more of an appreciation and gratitude for still doing it. I mean, that's the reason. The other part is just, you know, people like Dan and others, you know, have created this idea of what I am and what I'm about and who I am.
Felon.
Yeah, I should be in jail, arrested. Mm-hmm. And it's been fun to, you know, do McAfee's show, be a little more open with the media, finally do, you know, this with you guys. Mm-hmm. And hopefully let people see a different side. But either way, I'm not trying to be anything other than myself. And I do, I think, deep down realize this chapter of my life's coming to a close soon.
Yes.
So I'm trying to enjoy it a little bit more than when you're 21, you're thinking you're going to play forever. And 38, you're a fucking old guy, you know?
Yeah.
And you're 30, old. You're 38, you're like, damn, like the years have really gone by and I'm thankful for it. You know, I want to leave this place better than I found it.
I'm going to throw you a great retirement party. That's my promise to you. We'll go hang out, do whatever you want. You just say the word. Maybe next Saturday, we'll do it. All right?
Okay.
We're gonna fucking hang out. Off that.
Are we going to fly on that jet you flew in here on?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's
nice.
Grit, baby.
It's actually a Saudi jet.
But you had me by the street. I mean, like, behind the scenes, people don't realize I had to basically beg Aaron for 3 weeks. I was annoying him with text messages. I wanted to like kill myself every day that I had to text you and be like, hey, will you come on the show? But I will suck it up for the people.
I got you.
The people want to see we were talking about it. There was a small part of me when we were going to go down to Austin. I was like, he's probably not even going to be in Austin and he's just getting me to fly there. And I'm just going to, we're going to show up. And
see, that's what you do. So you present this image of me, this perspective of me that's totally doesn't match the facts.
So no, you've been
doing it for years.
I'm going to give you credit. You were very nice on text. You said, I want to do it. I just got to figure out my schedule.
I'm going to sue you for libel and you can choose a cash payout or jail.
Yeah, he's going to put you in jail.
Oh.
So you're down in Austin. How was doing the Alex Jones show?
you were very nice and accommodating. The media part, I do have a question off that. Do you get a little bit of like pleasure out of trending and having people like you've done some cryptic Instagram posts and some cryptic tweets?
I think
like, you're yeah, no, you're like there's been many times where you've posted something and I'm like, it's over, he's done, he's leaving Green Bay. And like I get my hopes up. Are you doing that like knowing you just like to rile the people up? Because you do it very well.
Every now and then, there's a situation where you might, you know, push the send button before counting to 10 and talking to a friend and making sure this is something you want to put out there. And I think we're all probably guilty of that. You, for sure. I've read some of yours.
I mean,
do you want to get into
the
tweets?
That, the one that Devontae was him and I kind of put our heads together and, you know, wanted to stir some shit up.
Oh, The Last Dance?
Yeah.
Oh, that one had me so happy.
I was
telling everyone. I was like, it's over. It's over.
And it was.
Done.
Right?
Yeah, it was. I guess it was.
He's in Vegas. Yeah.
So you said, like, you know, there's certain image out there of you that you've tried to, well, you don't care really what like strangers think necessarily, but it's not necessarily accurate.
Big Cat, I mean, Dan, yes, I do care about him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How would you describe yourself?
I think in general, I'd like to present myself how I see myself. So unapologetically authentic, you know, and feel, I mean, you like me or don't like me, that's not my concern at this point. You know, my concern is just speaking the truth and you know, and people say, oh, immunization, vaccination.
Yeah, I did. I said that a lot.
Yeah, you did.
Yep.
But how many people do you think you killed? What's your count?
How many grandmothers? See, let's just do grandmothers.
I mean, I know you guys are fucking around. I don't find that part funny. I really don't.
Okay. Like, oh, shit. You got John Cena.
No, yeah.
Yeah. No, it actually is one of my favorite things I was able to do off of that whole immunization thing is tweet that you should be in jail. And then I would have people who get the joke. And then there would be like a ton of people who would be like, oh, you think COVID is so real, he should be in jail. And it was just, my mentions would just be a mess.
And probably a lot
time.
Of people said, fuck yeah, put him in jail.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I have an army.
Get that liar in jail.
Yes.
Get him in jail.
Yeah. Get him in jail.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. A real question.
Those are the ones you were all retweeting and liking.
Oh, yeah. I was like, yep. Good point. Good point. Real question. Kind of a grit question for Grit Week.
Please. First of all, I need to share this. I feel like AJ Hawk would never forgive me if I didn't, but in our old grading system, so we play a game, and the next day, you know, every play is graded. At one point, we went to this huge grading format where there was like 20 different things somehow that were graded, and I swear to God, on every single play, there was a grit grade for each player. Grit grade. There was a NM for needs more, an ST was standard, and then an alpha plus. So,
alpha plus.
Yeah, you know, if you got that alpha plus grit grade, you
they
probably
call
did some fucking.
That's a John Kuhn grade.
Incredible.
Right there.
Awesome. Oh, John, yeah, for sure.
He probably
and where's John from?
In grit.
Yeah, Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Grit grade. We got to start grit grading
grit grade.
Ourselves.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
All right, so grit grade.
I would grade this interview on a grit grade schedule of standard of somewhere between ST and NM.
Okay. So we got some time.
Yeah, I don't want to be an alpha plus yet.
All right, so this is the real question. This will help the alpha plus. Your story of getting to the NFL. So you were lightly recruited.
Right.
I think I read that you at one point were thinking about like just quitting football and going to be a lawyer, right?
I was thinking about it.
How close were you at that point? Like, because I just want to go home and fantasize about like a different world where you just never played football. But how, because you stuck it out. And it is, you know, people think Aaron Rodgers, your talent is so out of this world, they don't think grit. But then when you read about, you know, having to start at Chico, what was it, Chico?
Butte.
Yeah, right by Chico. And then going to Cal and not getting all of those scholarship offers and, like, you know, falling in the draft. Were there moments where you're like, this just isn't going to work out?
For sure. And it was... When I think about it, there was like one day that kind of course corrected everything. It was in February of 2002, and the baseball coach who had been my JV football coach had been kind of prodding me to maybe come out and play baseball and pitch, and I hadn't played since eighth grade. And so the pitchers and catchers were like playing catch on the blacktop or something, and he said, oh, come out and throw a little bit, and they had the gun out there. And that one day, I think, changed my – kind of turned back on my competitive fire.
Really?
Because I came out of the winter, had no offers, and really didn't know what I was going to do. Obviously, the JUCOs in the area wanted me to come play there. But when you're growing up, you don't not dream about playing, you know, JUCO ball. You're dreaming about playing on Saturdays on ABC with Keith Jackson calling your games. You're right. Not thinking about playing at Cowan Stadium in Oroville, California, in front of 500 people. But – playing baseball that spring really kind of gave me my competitive fire back. And then I played in this all-star football game that summer. And I say all-star very lightly because it was Northern California, kind of north-south. There were only a few of us from that game who kind of went on to play in college. But that kind of gave me my fire back. I went to junior college at Butte, had a fantastic time. Still very close with my coaches there. And then the rest is kind of history.
That's crazy. So there is like – there's an alternate world where if that invite doesn't happen – not saying that you would have stopped playing sports, but you might have been like, all right, I'm going to figure out something else in life.
Yeah, I mean, there's a world. I was dealing with a major knee injury that was frustrating for 2 years in high school, and I was like, maybe I'll just rehab, and maybe I'll get surgery, or I don't know what I wanted to do. And then that day kind of, oh, okay, let me get into this next challenge. How can I be the best pitcher this year? And that kind of got my mindset adjusted, and that competitive fire kind of came back.
And what was that guy's name? I just want to know for personal reasons. I just want to call him up and...
Daniel Katz, I think.
I want to build a time machine.
I
want to
find that guy.
Stop
yeah.
That, stop
yeah.
that man.
If I build a time machine, one thing I can do is find that baseball coach and be no. like, don't invite Aaron to practice today. Then you're a lawyer. You would have been a terrible lawyer. Oh, my God.
Really?
Yeah, you would have been a terrible lawyer.
Why?
I can just feel it. Nah, you just wouldn't have been a good lawyer. I just know it. It's all I got right now.
Probably true.
I'm grasping. All right. You got to hurt me with the Bears stuff. What's the worst loss that you've had? What's the one that stuck the most?
Oh, the NFC Championship against Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a very fun game from my perspective.
If one play goes our way out of all these, you know, they don't call an offsides, I throw a pick to Sherman. Obviously, the onside kick, fake field goal, two-point conversion, you know, there's like eight plays. If one of them goes our way, we had a pick and the guys, you know, our guys slid down instead of running back inside the 30. And one of those plays goes our way. Mm-hmm. You know, we win that. We played New England, who we had beaten earlier that year at home, but we beat them 26-21 that year. But, yeah, that one hurts.
That was a fun one.
Always going to hurt.
I was just like, this is really happening. This is really happening. Holy shit, is this still happening? And it just kept on happening.
Do you have a photographic memory?
It was great. I remember the bar I was at in Chicago, and I was like, this is
Tell me more.
Happening.
Tell me more about it.
It was – so did you guys, like, run – you didn't run offense at the end of the game, right? Was there time left and you kneeled it or no?
No.
I know the onside kick, obviously.
They scored.
Yeah.
And then they went for two, and he threw up that wild one, and somehow guy caught it and
yep.
scored it. So we're down three. Then we went down – and got a field goal.
That's right. You kicked a field goal instead
of it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. And there was moments where it felt like your offense wasn't, you guys were kind of playing not to lose situation towards the end where it's like, all right.
Oh, the last couple of possessions.
Yeah. And that was one of my favorite parts. I was like, what are they doing? Like, they've been able to.
Well, we'd got after them in 20 the entire game and 20 personnel. So two backs and three receivers. And that was kind of the plan. And then we went kind of last couple of possessions in 22 personnel. So two backs, two tight ends, like a jumbo set, which, you know, Seattle's iconic, you know, one of the best defenses of the generation for sure, the last 30 years probably. The Legion of Boom, and people forget how good they were up front as well. And obviously they had KJ and Bobby at backer, you know, they were as stout as can be. But they had a front that was pretty nasty. But we had found some things in 20 personnel that got after them pretty good. In the last couple of possessions, we – you know, didn't do it. But, you know, as well as we played on defense that day, we picked them off five times. We had the ball inside the two twice and kicked two field goals.
Yeah.
Which that, oh, obviously
that
hurt.
Was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
there were a lot of things.
That was a great game. And then Russell Wilson passing overtime.
Yeah.
Oh.
But where were you? Where were you?
I was at a bar. I have a friend who's a diehard Packers fan. And as it was happening, I started to slowly move away from him because I thought he was going to legitimately punch me. So by the end, when Russell Wilson threw the touchdown, I was like basically standing in the doorway, like away from where we were sitting the whole day, because I was like, he's going to try to fight me. And yeah, it was great. It was great. And then he was just defeated and it was just beautiful. The whole thing.
Can I ask you in a non-condescending way, a question?
Yeah.
I'm going to.
That was a rhetorical question. That intro question was a little bit condescending.
It was rhetorical. Yeah.
Okay.
Is it hard for you as a Bears fan that some of your greatest moments are cheering against me when the Bears aren't playing?
Okay. Good question. Very good question. No, it's actually great because what I've told everyone is I'm very realistic about the Bears. Not a great franchise. Just don't do the right things for the most part. Every year I look forward to the playoffs and the game that you're going to lose. And I've told this story on the air, but like when you guys lost to San Francisco this year, we were watching the game in New Jersey and I drove back to Brooklyn, brag. And I listened to Tauscher, ESPN Wisconsin. For 3 hours I sat in my car. I had arrived home. It's a 20-minute drive. I had arrived home. I sat for 3 hours listening to callers be like, blow up Lambo, get 12 out of here. We need to build a dome. This team isn't built for the outside. And it was that was the highlight of my NFL season. And I have no problem saying that because I know I'm a loser. That's the best part. I've come to grips with the fact that I'm a loser. So, yes, watching you lose in the playoffs is my – that's my Super Bowl. And I've won a lot of Super Bowls, if you do it that way, more than you. Yeah, I like that spin zone I just did in my head. Yeah. I love it. Yeah, I have a dynasty cooking.
Do you like playing in the cold?
I do.
Really? Because I know Brett was saying like he had that amazing record in the playoffs and Lambeau Field was a place nobody could win in, and he hated playing the cold. But you enjoy it.
I do. I feel like it slows the rush down. And I think that kind of evens some things out up front. So we play in a front that's really, really dynamic. Footing can get in the way, especially if you're playing in Chicago in the cold.
That field's terrible.
It's unique.
It's a sand pit.
Is there one coach that you go up against? And you know that, you know, we were talking earlier about how sometimes you can see exactly what's going on. Sometimes things are more disguised. But one coach that you know that when you play against them, they're going to throw some stuff at you. They're going to disguise things, and you're going to be a little confused.
I think Todd Bowles has done a good job at that over the years. I think he's a really good coach. He has a – you can always tell schematically what coaches are the best based on how the league adjusts. And offensively, you know, in this offense that we're in, has kind of, there's like 9 different teams running now, and it started with Mike Shanahan and his son Kyle run it really, really well in Atlanta going to the Super Bowl, and then everybody copied it, and then there was a Seattle defense. I think you're seeing the Rams defense that kind of branched out across the league. There's probably 6-7 teams running the same thing. And then there's some teams trying to do what Coach Bowles does with the pressure package. Mike Zimmer for a long time was as hard as it came playing against because they had 8 up looks, you know, double A gap and then double edges. And then they had every variation, both edge guys, 4 to a side, 4 to the other side, both inside guys, drop those guys out. And the best disguisers in the game, including, you know, Harrison Smith, who's been there forever, but the backers when Barr and Kendricks are in there, you know, and they had that front that played together for a long time. It was one of the toughest defenses to go against.
Yeah, your coach was telling us before you came in, you know, one way to counteract that is by running a lot of motion mm-hmm. on offense. He said you love that.
Mm-hmm.
He said that you're really enjoying
motion.
All the motion.
That's what he gave you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that? So we're idiots, obviously. I mean, you've heard us talk for the last 20 minutes, so you know that we're fucking morons.
Yes.
But
no.
But what is it
interesting
about,
people.
What is it about installing like a motion offense that you're like, God damn, this is kind of a pain in the ass? Because to me, it's just like you go out there and you do what coach says.
Yeah, I mean, if he's smart and he knows what he's talking about, then yeah, you do what he says.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the smartest in the game. But
that implies that you've maybe played for some coaches that weren't smart.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if the scheme is smart and makes sense, then yeah, you do it.
How much
sometimes in this scheme, and I tell Matt all the time, this scheme has flaws. I think this scheme is way different. I grew up in the West Coast offense. West Coast offense, I think, is the most beautiful offense ever created. It's about timing and rhythm and balance, and everything makes sense protection-wise. You know where your hots are. You know where your eyes are going every single time. You know how the concepts fit together. This is a schematic offense. That was not a schematic offense. That was built on timing and precision and rhythm and guys being in the right spot at the right time and putting the ball in the proper number. And it, you know, started with Bill Walsh and Montana and Paul Hackett and on down to the iteration that we got to, and I loved it. In that offense, though, it's not predicated on motion. It's predicated on winning one-on-one matchups and then being accurate throwing the football. And so that's what I grew up in. I marveled at Peyton Manning during his prime would run all 2x2 and 3x1 formations with no motion just because he wanted to look at it and use his cadence variation to get movement and then be able to go with tempo as well. When you have so much motion, it's hard to get tempo going. You know, it's because you always got to make sure you're set and you got a motion, maybe a double motion, maybe this thing, maybe this adjustment off of it. I just like sometimes, and I tell them the same thing. I'm not telling you guys anything I wouldn't tell him. I got after him today because every freaking play, there's goddamn motion. I'm like, can we run one play without a motion and pass so we can get some tempo going? Because I like to switch the tempo. But in this offense, it does put a lot of stress on the defense because you have a motion, you have an outside zone look, you have a guy sealing backside, and we have off of that, we have a run, we have a screen, we have a keeper, we have an action pass. So you have so many different looks off the same stuff. That's why it works. It's a little frustrating when you grew up in the West Coast offense and your mindset is all about protection and X's and adjustments and different things when you're playing an offense that doesn't have a lot of those things and maybe could use it at times. And also when it kind of fucks up the protection schemes and lanes and identification sometimes, it just makes it, it makes it a little extra strenuous sometimes on the quarterback.
I'm starting to think you might know football.
A little bit.
Do you think football is beautiful?
I do.
I can tell.
When done right, yeah.
What's the most beautiful play?
Good question.
Oh, we used to run this play many, many times. Unfortunately, hit the Bears against it a few times. But hard play action to the left, half roll back to the right, and then a double move by 87 off the front side with some sort of complimentary route, either a deep cross or kind of a throwback route. But it was the weave, like corner post off of hard action. And we probably hit it for, I don't know, 7 or 8 touchdowns over the kind of 3 or 4 year span. And when that one comes clean and, safety goes and doubles the X and Jordy's, up there and running this corner and you just know he's going to be wide open, I think that's a pretty play.
Shit. I mean, you can tell football is beautiful. We know you got to go in a second. We got a couple more questions. We'll wrap it up quickly. Thank you, though. I do appreciate your time.
I appreciate you guys coming up here.
Yeah. I mean, we dropped everything.
I hope it's all a write-off and you guys, aren't out of pocket.
No, Dave paid for all of it.
David?
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, okay.
Dave paid for
all thank you, Dave.
You think the Barstool Fund was going to restaurants? all right. We'll go quick here. Favorite throw you've ever thrown? Is it the one against the Cowboys?
I like that one. I like the couple in the Super Bowl that felt good. But my favorite throw is the one that you got to witness in Detroit.
Fuck.
Just because I don't think I've ever thrown a ball that came off that good and went that high and that far.
You killed Detroit Dunn. His soul left his body. If you watch the video back, like he literally, his body, he had no spine. He had no bones. He just collapsed. You killed that man.
He's still alive, though,
yeah,
right?
He is still alive, I think. But he
like spiritually.
Yeah.
He made it back. He
recovered. The worst part about that, before that video, they were doing the math on how they were going to make the playoffs. They're like, we win this game, win that. I was like, all right, guys, but it's fucking Aaron Rodgers. Like, this is not over, and then you did that. All right, we'll wrap up with a couple of last questions. Is the discount double check the championship belt? You think that's a little ironic now, since you haven't won one in a long time?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good answer. Let's see. What else do we have? Oh,
here's one. Yeah. Do you think that if the NFC North was a better division, then you'd have better success in the playoffs? Is Big Cats or is Bears actually not preparing you enough?
Mm.
No, I think the North is a tough division. It's a gritty division. I think we can all agree on that.
It is gritty.
Okay. When you said that the 49ers were going to regret not drafting you, when they're 4-0 against you in the playoffs, is that regret or is that – what is that? What would you describe that as?
How many Super Bowls have they won in the last 18 years?
Doing the math right now.
I mean, the lights went out. That kind of screwed them. Oh, no, count. That actually helped them, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But they didn't win that one. They also had one of the most iconic defenses in the last 30 years as well.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't win any.
But 4-0.
When you're dropping down on draft day, are you like doing the math like, please God, somebody pick me before Washington?
Well, Washington would have picked Campbell, I think, anyway.
You think so?
Ooh.
Supposedly they liked him more than they liked me. I was honestly thinking when the Raiders trade up at 23, I was like, whoa.
There we go.
maybe take somebody else.
When it's Green Bay and you know the situation that you're going into, it's, Brett Favre's the guy.
Yeah.
Also, it's cold. You're Cali boy.
Yeah.
Were you at first like, shit?
Yeah. Of course. I mean, I couldn't have picked it out on a map, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm pretty good with states and capitals and geography. But the Packers was the worst interview I had at the Combine. So it was at the Combine. I was sitting in front of a group like this, but camera right here, Mike Sherman, all the whole room. And it was a tough interview. I felt like they were grilling me. I thought this was like, a little like love session where we're kind of loving, you're loving me up a little bit. And I'm kind of, being, nice and funny maybe, but it was not that. And I came back, I was like, well, doesn't matter. They're picking 24th. I'll never last that long.
Damn, another sliding doors moment.
Famous last word.
I love asking athletes this. What's the one thing that fans just totally get wrong in terms of your day-to-day, like season, life, everything? This is where you can basically subtweet everyone.
It's a grind, but it's a balance grind. I think a lot of guys like to talk about, you know, they're, oh, I'm up at 5:30 watching film and doing this and grinding all night. That's overkill to me. You know, as somebody who's had success in the league, it's balance. People are always like, oh, your schedule must be crazy. Like, I got to talk to you in the offseason. No. Like, Wednesday and Thursday are busy, and Tuesday you're working on the plan. But the schedule in the NFL is pretty nice. And we're creatures of habit. We love the routine. It's a mental grind, but it's not a crazy,
I feel like there's
strenuous schedule.
When you're watching film, too, it's like you can watch 8 hours of film a day, and at some point you start to phase it out. You can't watch 8 hours of anything.
You can't, no. I mean, why would you want to do that?
Do you have anything in your contract saying you have to watch 4 hours over the course of a week?
I don't.
All right, last question.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
I got a gift for you.
What are you macro dosing?
You know.
Pizza? Yeah.
You know.
What are you, an XL?
Yeah.
Here you go.
That's a large.
Hey, thank
That's
you.
Large.
I'll yeah. fit into
yeah,
it.
Lose some weight.
I appreciate that.
All right, I got you a gift because I did say you were nice enough to do this. So please accept my gift. I guess that's not a question, but please accept my gift if you want to open it on air.
This is a joke.
I got you. No, I got you your favorite scotch.
Is there a snake in here or something?
Nope. They told me this is Aaron's favorite scotch, so I got him his favorite scotch in the entire world.
What is there? Something going to bite me?
So there you go. There's a card in there too. If you want to read the card to the people.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, that's Wolfburn. Your favorite scotch,
my
right?
My favorite scotch.
Yeah.
Wolfburn.
I actually couldn't find your favorite scotch, so I just got you that.
Yeah, you didn't
but
try
you
very
like
hard,
it, right?
Obviously. Yeah, I love it.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, and then maybe you. Read the card, and then we'll end there. So, oh, how's the COVID toe, by the way?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going good. The lesions are gone, I believe. Yeah. Thank you. What do I open first?
No, those are just, that was just filler, so it looked like the bag was bigger. I just had to find random pictures and stuff and just, what... Oh, is it?
It's
oh,
the same
shit.
Picture. It's the same picture.
It's the same picture. Is that Shea McClellan?
It's the highlight of his career,
oh,
I think.
It is. It is. Yeah. And that, what? Listen, if you told me when we drafted him in the first round, he would break your collarbone, I'd be like, and do nothing else, I'd be like, sign me up.
That's, yeah, that's really nice.
Oh, there's another. Oh, shit. There's another one there, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow.
So thank I said, you. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much.
What did I say in there? I can't remember what I wrote.
Thanks for coming on PMT. You're the worst. Love PMT. Not love. Just Dash PMT and Shea McClellan.
Yeah.
Two of them on here. Thank you to Shea. Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you, Aaron.
Shea actually apologized after that. It was a nice apology on the field. That was 2013 on the field before that game.
Yeah. That was a great moment when you got hurt. I mean, it was for me personally. I don't root for injuries. But when they happen, what are you going to say? No.
Let me just say this. Let me ask you a question to finish this. 2018, right? I go down the first quarter. And then Mac has pick six, sack fumble. It's 20-3, mm-hmm. 20-0.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see me come back on the field. What are you thinking?
I think my tweets at the time were like, Mac is the best player on this field. The Packers have no answer for this defense. The Bears are going to ruin Aaron Rodgers' life for the rest of his career. And then you came back and you did that. And that was a bad one. That was a really bad one.
That was the post game where you had the spontaneous Southern accent.
Yeah.
I love that. You sprinkle that in sometimes.
I do.
My knee. Yeah. My trick knee, Zach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a bad one. Listen, well, you get to.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate that.
You're 23-5 against the Bears. I know it.
Am I
going
to allow him to do that?
Yeah, he just alphaed you on
that. Dan Campbell is the only one that's allowed to call me that.
Why?
Because he's an alpha plus.
He's got a lot of grit.
Yes.
He does.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Aaron. This you were one of our white whales, so we appreciate it. Still don't like you, but I respect you more.
I like you. I don't like what you've done to him.
Don't say that.
I like you, and I really like you.
Listen up. We've got some tea, and you all are going to be obsessed. We spoke with the Abercrombie team, and they told us that they were going to launch a wedding shop. Well, we lost it because, as you know, we are both getting ready to get Abercrombie and Hitched. The whole vibe of Abercrombie these days is clothes you'd wear for a perfect long weekend, and all their customers were like, hey, we spend long weekends traveling for weddings these days. And then Abercrombie was like, we love that. Let us just give you everything you could ever possibly want and love to wear for all things wedding. So they did. It has everything. Tons of dresses, jumpsuits, pants, swimsuits, pajamas, pantsuits, and all perfectly curated for different events, bachelorettes, brunches, showers, ceremonies as a guest and ceremonies as a bride, reception, and even honeymoon. It is incredible. Check out the Abercrombie Wedding Shop on Abercrombie.com. Go shop it now.
Okay, that was Aaron Rodgers. Again, I really think he was trying to win me over with kindness. I'm not going to let it happen.
He said he really likes you.
Yeah.
But also doesn't consume any of your stuff.
But then also noticed my weight and also said, remember Ford Field. So.
Also, the NFC North just has no respect for the dead, and I kind of respect
it. They
don't.
Him and Dan Campbell just dead-naming me left and right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
It's disgusting. Well, actually, it does make sense that Aaron Rodgers would not have respect for somebody's brother.
Yeah, that's true. Kind of his thing. That's absolutely true. Which you made that joke, I didn't, because I have always been like, I'll try to get you in jail, I'll tell you that you're the biggest piece of shit ever, but I'll never make fun of your family.
Oh, well, I guess I'm the asshole.
Yeah, you're the asshole now. But I will say this, I do think we will probably have him on again. Like, I thought that went well. I've conversed with him a little bit afterwards. And
a little bit of a tight time too.
Like little tight time. You know, yeah, we didn't.
Could definitely go longer.
Oh, yeah. We could have done 2 hours, but we had, you know, it was actually. We got there, and he had practice and then a meeting, and he came and let us interview him during, like, his, like, 45-minute break. So it was a tight time.
A great.
We got the little wrap it up that was, like, I have, like, 15 more questions.
All time great. They're like, all right, one more question, and you guys squeezed, like, I think 10. Oh,
that's, yeah. People don't see that part, but when Hank does, I'll always notice Hank in the background because shout out the PR for the Packers, Tom, who's very nice to us. We met him a few years ago when he had us there for LaFleur, and also Peggy knows him well. Peggy does a great job with us, but Hank got the notice from Tom that we had to wrap it up. Hank gave me the wrap it up. And I was like, yeah. And then I just kept on going. Because like
he's like giving me the look. I'm like, you saw him say. He
actually,
acknowledged it.
Grit
like,
week memory.
That's all I can do.
Grit week memory about that. Like back in the day when we finally got Harbaugh and JT, his guy, who I'm still keeping in touch with, good guy. He doesn't work there anymore. But afterwards, he pulled me aside and he's like, hey, when you asked for this interview, you said you only needed 20 minutes and then you took an hour. He's like, what happened there? I was like, yeah, sometimes we just get carried away.
Well, also Harbaugh liked doing the interview. Yeah, so like he didn't want to stop talking.
He was more asking me. He wasn't mad. It was more of like, how'd you do that?
Yeah.
Like,
what kind of Jedi mind trick?
I gotta be able to stop the next people who do this.
Well,
to
we
me.
Just lied. Yeah. That's our trick.
Yeah.
Although I don't think that we intentionally went into it being like, we're gonna go for an hour with Coach Harbaugh.
No.
It just happened.
This one with Rodgers, we had a hard out. And we pushed to the limit. Like we were.
He probably was eating lunch in the meeting.
Yeah, no,
like
he was late to his meeting.
Yeah, he didn't get to eat lunch and then go to the meeting. Like he was probably like in the meeting eating.
I was
lunch.
Thinking how about that. Could we get him fined?
Yeah.
That would be great.
Or how sick would it be if he didn't learn a specific play because he spent too much time with us? He missed something very important and then he fucks up against the Bears.
Yeah, or the playoffs. That's fine. We learned that too.
Yep.
Thank you for having my back there. In that moment when he's like, it's pathetic that all you care about is my losses. I was like, dude, I got a lot of Super Bowl rings.
Yep.
I got like fucking 10 of them. Okay, let's do it. We're going to do Mount Rushmore of NFL coaches you want on your side in a fight in honor of Grit Week. Who goes first?
Who won last time?
You guys did. Also, shout out to me and Billy. We didn't get last for the first time.
Yes, the corn bet.
No,
yes.
we're not
Jake, hang the banner.
Yes. You guys do need a banner
for that.
We have
momentum.
Yes.
Wait, okay. Who came in last place then?
That'd be
well,
Hank.
There was a bet where people wanted to see Billy or Big Cat.
I didn't retweet.
I didn't retweet it either.
Yeah, so we proved what we were saying all along.
You said we were a Rushmore team. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wait, do we have to bleep out the MR word?
What? Oh, you go first?
No, no, no. That's not how it works, memes. Memes trying to go first. I say we go
You're
first.
You're an idiot, memes.
We'll go first. Who do we want to go second?
Let's have Jake and Billy go second.
Okay. All right. So you guys will go third. Our first pick is Dan Campbell.
Yep. Easy pick. Easy pick.
Easiest pick in the world.
I think he still does get into fights.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Wearing the grit hat, like talking about biting kneecaps. He's doing the up downs. He's
Hard Knocks tomorrow. Also tomorrow.
Hard Knocks. Yes.
Meet and greet.
Meet and greet. Yes. Where is the meet and greet? What times?
I believe it's called Tom's.
Tom's.
Right next to Coors Field.
Okay.
Are we doing 5 to 7?
I think we're going to do 4:30 to 6:30.
4:30 Mountain Time.
Yeah, 4:30 to 6:30. Hard out at 6:30. We apologize if you can't get there by 6:30, but we do have to get to our host's house for Hard Knocks.
You can't miss Hard Knocks. Right. You understand.
And also, I think the Rockies game starts at 7, so most people are probably going to be going in the Rockies game. So 4:30 to 6:30, come say what's up. We'll be there. What?
There's a food challenge there.
At Tom's, at the supermarket?
Watch bar.
Great. Yeah. So you'll just be doing that to the side. No, that's perfect.
I think.
Okay. There's a food challenge.
He did it with,
Billy,
with an audience.
Here's a little tip, content tip. There's a food challenge every place we go. Okay, because we can come up with one.
The best, I will say, Billy did a good job prepping. He sent the list and like maps and locations and stuff. And I was like going through with him at the airport. And the one, there's like a steakhouse. And he's like, it's just like a really nice steakhouse. And I was like, what is the challenge? He's like, well, they definitely have a challenge. I was like, you just want to go. I was like, we definitely can go there. Like, it's good to have, you know, good restaurants to find. But like,
yeah,
this was just a steakhouse like he wanted the boys to go to, which I'm down to. Like,
it also
we should go.
Rocky Mountain oysters.
Yeah, I think we're going to find a lot of those though here.
Can you eat the most expensive steak on the company card challenge? Damn, did it. All right, so Dan Campbell's our first pick.
Easy first pick. I think Dan Campbell could actually step in if they didn't draw attention to him entering the game wearing a full uniform and you just put him like on the defensive line. I actually think he could get two reps in before people were like, who's that guy playing defensive tackle?
Yes, yes. Okay, you guys have next pick.
Vrabes.
Okay, yep, that was easy. I was going to be so mad if you guys fucked that up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Easy.
And no disrespect to Vrabel. It's just that you got Man Campbell to compete with now.
I think also, yeah, like Vrabel is easy number two. It's more that Dan Campbell, I feel like he just has less to lose.
And he cries too.
Yeah.
Like anytime that somebody cries openly, is not afraid. I can't see Vrabel crying. I feel like Vrabel, if he started to like well up with emotion at the podium, he would just like break the microphone in half and leave.
Right.
And Dan Campbell is like, he channels that emotion.
And also Mike Vrabel is very successful. Like he's won Super Bowls. Coach of the Year. So there's got to be a part of him like, why am I even in this fight? Whereas yeah. Dan Campbell, the fight is the most important thing in his life at that moment.
Yep.
This one I think is also pretty obvious, but might not be to the naked eye. It's Sean McDermott.
Mm.
Okay.
We had him on the list.
He's a little pit bull.
He was a back-to-back national prep champion wrestler, like all-time good wrestler. Had a 61-0 record surrendering just one takedown.
Wow.
It's like you get in a fight, how many people that you're fighting know how to wrestle? When the wrestling guys, you see in the UFC all the time, you can be a great fighter, you can be a great striker, you can be strong as shit. All of a sudden, the guy takes you down. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah, yeah. Never
and
fuck with a wrestler.
He's an unbelievable
never.
Wrestler.
I had some friends that wrestled for a couple years in college, and they were by far the last guys that you want to fight with.
And like, they're always the first guys you want to try to get a fight.
And they know they just know how to angle.
Because they're so calm.
And they're usually the small guys. Everyone says, oh, they can't do anything, and then they will just pin you.
They're so calm, too.
They can like, get they you on the ground, it's over. Like, if they get Dan Campbell on the ground, it's over. If they get Vrabel on the ground, it's over. Like, there's nothing. They're getting taken down, and they're just going to be choked out.
They're just used to physical contact all the time. Yeah. And they're very comfortable.
And then this one's more a little bit more of an obvious one, just size matters. Doug Marrone. From the Bronx.
He's not.
Oh, he's got it. Fuck.
I mean, did you lose your pick? That should be a vacated pick.
Yep, the Vikings.
That should be a vacated pick.
Fuck. No.
Whose choice is that, memes?
No, I think you get a pick at the end of the draft. I think it's like we skip you and you come back. You still get to do four.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's
tough.
It's not hard to.
He didn't coach last year.
It's not hard to have.
Yeah.
Whatever. Urban Meyer
you guys are
was
right. You guys are right. Yeah, you guys
okay,
are right.
Okay, so we'll come back and you'll get another pick.
Sure. My bad.
Yikes.
Memes is bad. My
big
bad.
Yikes.
Wait,
guys.
Was it EU memes?
No.
Damn.
I said it.
So Hank's
just throwing
memes under the bus?
No, I mean, I said it. Like, memes is supposed to be my guy.
Oh,
like,
wait, so he didn't tell you that you were wrong?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is, that's a team.
Yeah, bad job, memes.
That's a team thing.
Okay. All right, you guys, next pick.
All right, we are going to continue the mic train with Tomlin.
Shit. Mm. Good we pick. Thought we'd get him later.
He's intense, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
I feel like he's Mike Tomlin's a good guy to have on your side in a fight because he can just look at the opponent.
Or trip.
Yeah, he could trip him. Good call.
Yeah.
But like people would just walk away and be like, I'm not fighting that guy.
PFT, I feel like we have just great pick. I think we take the list I sent you back when we did the Just NFL coaches. Mm-hmm. I think we should go with 3 and 4 there.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I mean, that's easy. Why don't you go with 3 and
okay,
just write,
three,
right in Billy's face?
Salah.
Yeah.
So easy. Dude is jacked as hell. Shaved head, a little Vin Diesel action going on. He's got long arms, too. I feel like he could choke you the fuck out. He's got good reach.
We thought very important. Guys wouldn't take him. We were going to have him later.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You're not.
Easy pick. The guy's got fucking muscles for days.
And does he live in a hotel?
Still, maybe.
I think he's got a house now.
He might have a house now.
But anybody that lives in a hotel for months at a time, they can usually handle themselves.
Okay, our next pick, another former player in the NFL, been around forever, Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles.
Washed.
What?
Washed?
You're lashing out. Todd Bowles would kick your fucking ass.
Also, he played safety in the 90s. Do you know how violent of a person you have to be to play safety in the NFL in the 1990s?
That's an intense dude, too.
Yeah.
You're just mad because you didn't realize that fucking Bruce Arians isn't the coach anymore. Doug Marrone.
Oh, man.
I mean, Hank's we love flustered. Doug, but he literally hasn't been the coach in a year and a half.
Hank is flustered.
It's not. That's how bad that
I get
pick
it.
Is.
Yeah, I know. I understand.
It would be one thing
yes.
if it was.
Yeah,
if it no, went yeah. Doug Marrone yeah, to yeah, Doug yeah, Peterson, yeah. It's like you got your Dougs crossed up. You skipped Urban Meyer's entire 2-win season. How could you? All right. Boys are talking.
Go ahead, Billy.
Sean McVay.
What?
He's
my God.
High energy.
That's a terrible pick.
No, that's
Billy,
not a terrible pick. That's not a terrible pick.
We're going to quit this podcast for real
but
now.
But he's probably one of the most physical.
Oh, my
he's
God.
He's the most physically able coaches.
I thought
coaches.
We were coming in third, and now I'm like, all right, we can fight back.
What? Sean McVay is.
No. Whose pick was this, Jake?
He fucking goes to
Jake?
A salon.
I mean,
he manicures his facial hair.
I greenlit it, but it was Billy's idea. But I will take some responsibility too.
He definitely can bring the like out of all
no,
the coaches.
No
a lot
way,
of them are older.
Dude.
Like he's gonna still bring the heat.
No,
like
no.
He's ready, willing, and able.
No,
he's
absolutely not.
Fire starter, energy guy.
No, dude, he's a Hollywood dude who takes his shirt off now.
Yes.
Was your fourth pick Cliff Kingsbury?
No, I think Sean McVay is a little more physical.
Dude,
than
Dude, Sean McVay is smaller than I am.
He's 5'10".
No, I've stood next to Sean McVay quite a few times.
Yeah, he is. I've been there for those times.
For those standings.
Those
yeah.
standoffs.
I think you guys are wrong, but Sean McVay.
Okay.
If it were like we had to pick every NFL coach, he would eventually get picked. But I don't think he's what is this, like the ninth pick?
There are 32 coaches.
That's what I don't
top
agree.
10.
Yeah, Sean McVay's top 20, but not top
maybe top
9.
10. I think he's one of the most physically able
okay.
of the coaches.
Okay. All
he's
right.
not going to fuck you, bro.
Hank, you have 2.
I mean, these don't count. But
let's
like,
see if anyone here is still coaching.
If
Hank's
I'm,
like Bill
want,
Parcells.
You want me to just give the 2 picks meme sent me? Yeah. Greg Schiano, Brett Bielema.
Okay. Those are,
so we had those on our list, too, for college.
No.
Wasn't it Hank's idea to change it?
Wait, Hank,
no,
you're the leader yes. of this team. Take some accountability.
Right, it was Hank's
I
idea
know,
to make
yeah,
it NFL.
Yeah,
yeah.
Wait,
I threw
Hank was
under
the
bus.
Said,
yeah, I know. I said that too. He was
so
in the
why
room
would you
I said
throw
that.
Under the bus there?
Because he just texted me those 2 seconds ago after that debacle of Doug Marrone. It's all right. It's my team, my responsibility.
Yeah, sounds like
you gotta run a tight ship.
No, again, this is why I love Team Mount Rushmore because you were seeing Hank's true leadership. It's why everyone says Barstool's going downhill.
Oh my God. All right, we're going to go with another defensive beast coach on the battle, on the way back, Ron Rivera.
There we
okay.
go.
All right, yeah.
Good pick.
Former player.
That's a good pick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big
we
guy.
Had him on our list. Big dude, physical dude, good pick. What's the term?
I said Ron Rivera. He said... He vetoed me with McVay.
Here's the thing.
I pointed it to Ron Rivera, and
you
said no.
If you said Ron Rivera, we would have taken Ron Rivera.
I pointed to him.
Ron Rivera's 2 Sean McVays.
I know.
It would be beast. He could complete an eating challenge,
the shit out of cancer.
Yeah, I know.
If Sean McVay wanted to pretend that he was Ron Rivera, he would have to get in a trench coat and go on Sean McVay's shoulders.
Wait, Billy, did you just say that you didn't want to pick Rivera because he just had cancer?
No, I said he beat the shit out of cancer. He'd be great to have on your team in a fight.
Yeah, right. Not so why did you say McVay?
Because I forgot about Ron Rivera. I mean,
pointed to him. Seconds before.
Well, then why?
I'm sure Sean McVay beat the shit out of like Botox one day last year, where you know the next day your face hurts a little. He bounced back. Oh, Hank's thinking.
Good pick.
Want to throw memes under the bus one more time?
No, memes doing great. Memes, me love memes. Great guy.
This is where it gets tough. This is the reason you did say NFL only. You said that.
This is the reason, because it gets more contentious. If we did NFL in college, then everyone would just be like, you know, good pick. There's enough to go around where it's like
Sean McVay gets picked in the third round.
That makes it contentious. So for our third pick, should be fourth pick, which is going to get weird at the end, I guess. More so that he's not a psycho himself, but when you have to grow up with one of the all-time psychos in Jim Harbaugh, John Harbaugh is just like, he's been through some shit. He's fought them all.
Yeah,
he's definitely like, got his agreed. Ass kicked.
If it's an NFL, if it's an NFL coach fighting NFL coaches, like he has more experience
that's
fighting an NFL coach than
Harbaugh's. Don't quit either,
right?
Like he wouldn't quit. But, I mean, didn't Jim tell us the story how he almost drowned him?
Yeah. Right, he held his head underwater in the ocean.
Yeah,
and wait, did John? Where did John play?
I was gonna say
somewhere in California, maybe.
Yeah, he played a D3.
Probably Ohio somewhere then.
Where did he play?
Did he play?
I'm pretty sure, didn't he play in the...
Miami of Ohio.
He played for the Colts.
No.
You're looking at the wrong Harbaugh.
Yeah, Miami. Yeah.
Miami of Ohio.
Human body craves contact.
It's a good point. Like, if he shares DNA...
Correct.
With Jim Harbaugh.
And he's had to fight Jim Harbaugh his whole life. Yes. So it's like he might not be a fighter himself, but like he knows
what it's like. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. I like it.
On your team in a fight, you need size, and that's why we're going with Andy Reid.
Good pick.
No.
He's Yokozuna. He's Yokozuna. He just sit on someone.
He's old and he's huge.
He will be huge. Have you seen his stats?
But he's not mobile. His stats when
he doesn't need to be. He just
kick punch pass when he was 13.
Yeah. That man is fighter.
I think the argument for Andy Reid is it's that it would never get to a fight. If you have Andy Reid with you, like no one would be like, I want to fight that big fucking dude.
It also, if you did get into like a big group fight, I feel like two guys have to be hanging off Andy Reid at any given time. Like when the Raptors take out the T-Rex in Jurassic Park at the very end, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
That's like what you're looking at in that situation where Andy's got like two other coaches dangling off his arms and then it frees you up to take out the rest.
Yes. All right, PFT, what do we want to do with our last one?
It's tricky at this point. So
do we go for the brains?
Yeah, I think we do. I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Belichick,
yeah.
That's what I was debating. I thought if we took him, then one of you guys would probably take Harbaugh.
Yeah, we would have. So, but he was. But Belichick was on our list.
That's where I got. That's where the mispick fucks me.
I think Belichick is the kind of guy that probably
art of war.
He probably works out by boxing recreationally. He's probably studied like Joe Johnson tapes from 1920 and knows like all the. He probably fights with the like fighting Irish leprechaun hands with the two hands.
Yeah,
I also feel like he's a big time like pressure point guy. Like he could just walk up to you and like you would faint.
Yeah, do the five finger heart buster or whatever. Yeah, he also. He feels like he would be kind of similar to, you know, he's a little older now, but Dalton in Roadhouse, where he, like, sees all the angles. And he sees a fucking guy with a knife in his boot before the knife even comes out of his boot. So, that kind of shit. Yeah, you need the mental side.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I feel great about our four.
Ours is awesome.
How
is it possible that we keep getting
that hurt?
Yeah, you screwed up with the Doug Marone and Sean McVay. We've talked about it, but...
Yeah. Now, if we had Harbaugh and Belichick and our other two, I think we... Probably don't win, but whatever. That's like that you just tank the entire draft, which is fine. So we got a choice.
I feel like we're playing Mount Rushmore in like the old like 10 years ago AFC East.
Yeah.
Where it's like me and Big Cat, you know, we might have a couple off days, team. But you guys, no, but you guys keep finding a way to like shoot yourself.
Yeah, right. It's not.
No, I mean, we made great picks. I did make a mistake today. But
this
like,
wasn't like this was anyone could have won this one. And there were just mistakes made along the way. You passed up a pick and they picked Sean McVay. I mean,
no one said you guys altitude. Have won yet.
And we've won.
Yeah. I mean, we've really?
Won. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go.
We'll just go. I'm in between two, but I'm just going
to. What are the two? Why don't you just talk it out? Because it's the last pick.
Well, yeah, I'll talk it out. It's Doug Peterson and Dable, and not just Doug Peterson. I'm just going to pick Dable because.
We almost took Dable.
I don't really like Doug Peterson.
I'm actually shocked. So, PFT and I had one other name that we were. Two other names we were throwing around. One, we thought everyone would forget Lovie Smith. Texans head coach, definitely.
Age definitely played a factor for me.
And then Nick Sirianni, we were saying on the side text that like Sirianni definitely thinks he's Rocky.
I think Sirianni has a gun.
Yeah,
I think a couple guns. I think he carries around a gun with him just like when he's on the streets, just in case shit goes down.
Yeah.
And Mike McDaniel would have been a funny pick too.
Who? Well, Mike McDaniel, I think, would be like on the Flushmore. I think McDaniel's one.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah. What, like with the other
Flushmore,
ones?
McDermott. I mean, McVay.
Kingsbury. Maybe Josh
McDaniel's probably not doing much in a fight.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think who else would be on the floor.
There's kind of a lot of nerd coaches now.
Brandon Staley, I like him a lot, but I don't know if he'd be the fight guy.
Kyle Shanahan. Well, I guess Kyle played receiver.
Shanahan's got a little grit to him.
He definitely has a knife.
Yeah.
He's a knife guy.
He's got some grit under
his... He's got one of those switchblades that just like folds out and he just sits there just like playing with it.
LaFleur, definitely on the Mount Floor. He couldn't fucking beat up a fucking fly.
No
chance.
Kevin Stefanski, I don't think he's...
No.
He's too good-looking.
Yeah.
Who's the Bears coach?
Eberflus.
Yeah, I'm
going to say... Based
on name only.
Arthur Smith.
Yeah.
Although he probably could take a punch with that jaw.
Yeah.
Or lack thereof. Chin. It's like he's got a broken jaw. Well, no, he... Never mind, he has no jaw.
And so when we originally started to do this, we were talking about college coaches, and I thought that your pick of Schiano or... Bielema were two. Those are two that I had on the list there. I also had Kalani Sitake because he's the coach at BYU. He actually, his chin just goes into his shoulders.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a neck at all. You cannot knock that man
and
out.
When we were talking about college coaches, I had obviously Harbaugh, but then Jeff Brohm sneaky for that XFL clip when he was concussed seven different ways. He was just like, got to go back in there and play some football.
All-time early PMT clip.
Yeah.
Super viral.
Yeah. Oh, Jeff Brohm, White Whale. I was joking. That was a joke. Yeah, sorry.
All right, you guys have any other
any other thoughts?
I mean, we were thinking Pete Carroll.
Oh, Pete Carroll, I could see. You could convince me on Pete Carroll and just like he's a fitness freak and he's got age like, you know, who also would be maybe the worst, like worse than Mike McDaniel is Matt Rhule. He'd just be spitting on himself. Yeah. Just fucking puke. Like, he'd get punched in the stomach and just puke everywhere.
I think Matt Rhule would get into a fight and become so overwhelmed with anxiety, he would just faint like a possum.
Yeah.
He would just, like, lay on the ground perfectly
still. Although,
still.
I did remember, I think we were about to interview him once, and I read some stories about him. He did, when he was trying to turn around Temple, he, like, put on the pads and, like, tried to fight his players.
I love that.
And, like, played ball in the ring.
He just gets knocked out.
Yeah, he was trying to get some toughness with the Temple team.
Who else we got? I don't know enough about Hackett. I don't know if Hackett could kick any ass.
Hackett, Kevin O'Connell.
Probably not.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of guys that are just like, probably not. Okay. I'm trying to think if there's anyone we missed. Going through the list. In my head.
Oh, Zach Taylor. No.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. He went to a Super Bowl.
Yeah. No. And again, I don't think I would recognize him if he were in this room.
No, definitely not. Okay, let's do numbers. Send everyone off.
You got
Aaron Rodgers.
Two.
6-9.
Big interview coming Wednesday. Grit week. Get excited. Make sure you're following all the accounts.
26.
8. Jonah? 9.
81.
That's 3.
I will do 27.
Whatever number we get, we should play it in the roulette table. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Here we go. 62.
Oh. Hit it again so we get our number for roulette.
74.
Hit it again so we get our number for
87.
Roulette. Hit it again so we get our number for roulette.
49.
Hit it again so we can get our number for
70.
Roulette. Hit it again.
69.
Wait, does that count?
No. 34.
All right, 34.
There it is.
Playing 34.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Is there a red or black generator that you can hit? Just like randomly?
Just flip a coin.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go eat some steaks.
Actually, we should flip a coin.
We're going to get this boy's belly expanded.
Love you guys.
Yeah. Jaguars eat ayahuasca and trip bowls.
That's kind of cool. The Packers do too.